So Heavenly God and Father, would you come into your presence again, and would you thank you, Lord, for the food that we've already partaken of, and we thank you, Lord, for the food that we will receive even later on today. We thank you for the physical food as well as the spiritual food that you've been providing for us as we're here. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for your help in helping us to be more like you'd have us to be, and we ask, Lord, you would continue to guide and direct in our lives. We would ask, Lord, you'd help as we try to share the word even now, so that others might come away with the thought that you would have them to have. We ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Bob, you get all that extra time that Mike did you?
Okay.
And let's give Bob a hand.
Okay. I want to make a couple announcements. One, talking to Jeff Brown earlier about the conferences and about us not having anything for children, and so I cornered Rosemary. So next year at the TFT conference, if there's going to be children there, she said that she will have some classes prepared. So I told one of the challenges that Pete's on our board now. One of the challenges he gave me was to promote the conference more in June, and so I think that will help. I will probably put a note out to that effect that there'll be classes for kids, and it is something that Oscar didn't really promote much, and we've kind of been following in his footsteps, but we see a need for it from time to time, and I think if they knew we were going to do it, the people that have families would be happy to bring their children and have them exposed to the truth, but done in a way, you know, more with the age group appropriate. So I wanted to announce that. I want to thank Rosemary for volunteering. We always appreciate that. Hopefully she'll have, and if she doesn't have enough teachers, and if any of us, and I would even be willing to do it, go back. I got my start at this teaching little kids that could just barely read. If they can read, I could share the truth with them. And so a lot of the times it was just doing that, just reading the scriptures, just trying to get them to be able to read it and then sometimes spent trying to explain it, trying to give them an understanding of it. So I wanted to announce that. I wanted to also announce that Marie asked me to tell each and everyone here and for Joe that they would like to be here, that they are thinking about us, are praying about us, and they just wanted to give their well wishes and their thanks for the support that you give us. And I guess we're not there yet age-wise, but we probably will be. And so I can appreciate when you get older, it's tougher to travel. It's tougher to make these events. I know that they would, if they could, they would like to be here. So they asked me to say that to each and every one of you. So I've done that. I can't think of any other announcements. I want to talk just a little bit about me using an illustration of what's happened in my life in the last 6 months or so, and then get into scriptures. And basically what we want to get into when we're talking about scriptures, and the word I want you to remember is this word choice. Our life is all about choices. And so I want each of us, as we get done, to realize that that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that this life is all about choices. This life is, we're being tested. And it's not so much for God to know how we're going to choose, but I think it's for us as individuals, how we're going to come out of this thing. In other words, we are His workmanship, created into good works, but He needs to get our thinking lined up with His. And sometimes He does that through testing. I think He does that a lot through testing. But I'm not going to be looking up the word testing. I'm just going to be looking up. I thought this was going to be really easy, and I was going to be able to go through a dozen or two dozen references for the word choice in the post-Acts epistles. They're not there. they're just not there. There's one in Ephesians. A couple in Ephesians, but they're a different word. It's like choice, chosen, and choose. And that's not enough references for us to use for the whole 45 minutes. So we'll be using some other references in other epistles that are not Paul's last seven, not Ephesians. But hopefully we'll be able to, I think, glean out that thought. Because how this has come to play in my mind is God has chosen us to be His body. And that was a deliberate choice on His part. And how He did the choosing was He did it out of foreknowledge, which is something that you and I don't have. And so He never made a bad choice. Each and every one of us, as we think about it, sometime in our life have made a bad choice. We wish we hadn't went that way. We wish we would have went the other way. God doesn't have that problem. He's never chooses something that in some way or another is going to fail. They may stumble, but they're not going to fail. And so when we think about the Lord choosing the body, and I think He does it, I've heard the expression used corporately, which means in my mind that he has created this position in the heavenlies, this job, this body, this like a group of Congress, and there's members that are going to need to be chosen to fill those slots, and he has, some would suggest that He just created the jobs. Others would suggest, which I'm going to try to suggest, is He not only chose the job, in other words, he's got this plan laid out, but He also has the hand-picked individuals who He wants to fulfill each job. I'm going to use just a quick illustration about that, and then I'll use this the other short. Mike, give me an extra 15 minutes or so, 10 minutes. I'm hoping somebody's keeping track of the time, by the way. I'll leave that up to Ron. And so I'll use that. What was that point I was going to make? I'm getting like Ron. Yeah. When I went in the Air Force. And I went in the Air Force back in 1964. Before you go in there, they make you take a test. And it's like an aptitude test. They want to see what you're good at. And of course the joke is that they find out that you're a truck driver and that you could do the truck driver job, so they make a cook out of you. And then the other guy comes in and he's a chef. And he could cook and they make a truck driver out of him. So what they do, they don't match up the skills. Well, I think that's what the Lord is doing with us, that He knows our skills. He knows us, and He gives us the right job. And by the way, the Air Force put me in a job that I was actually pretty good at. You know, I was able to get promoted as much as you can get promoted in 4 years, and that went well. And I, other than a few times that I, if I was in the States, I'd have probably been busted for being insubordinate. When you're in a war zone, you can get away with a little more than you can here in the States. So that never happened. And it was kind of just a one-on-one with somebody that was an officer that was, I thought, a bit arrogant. And he was wanting me to do something more than what I was able to do. And I was just there to do my job. You know, he was acting like I was there for some other reason and like I wanted to be there. And that was not the case. So that was over. And I was in the Philippines and in Vietnam and also Thailand for the time I was overseas. Now, to get back to the other point I said I was going to start with, I got married about 6 months ago. Valerie and I got married about 6 months ago. And one of the things that came up in our marriage vows was, and we had Dave Bickle, which most of you know, Dave Bickle. And if you don't, and you come to the conference in June, you'll get to meet him. But he performed the ceremony. He did it first for my daughter, and then he did it for us. And I think my daughter was the first and we were like the second or third. So he's getting better at it as he continues to do it. But one of the things that came up in our wedding vows were, I choose you this day and every day. And so what we've been doing, and I'm not going to say that we're perfect and we haven't missed a day, but we tried not to ever miss a day. And every day or every night we say to each other, I choose you this day. And for me, I say to be my wedded wife, and for her it's supposed to be what it has been, but sometimes it comes up other things. But we do know why we're doing it. We do know why we're making the choice. And we do know if we make that choice every day that there's not a chance for us down the road 10 years or 20 years or 25 or 40 years to have to redo the vows. We redo the vows every day. And what I want us to do when we start thinking about our service for the Lord, and this is the thing I want you to take home from here this afternoon about this choice, is make that decision for the Lord every day. I choose you today and every day to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. And we want to do whatever it is that He wants us to be found doing. And sometimes that's different from day to day, and sometimes the testing is a little more than it is on other days. But we know the Lord doesn't want us to murmur and complain, so we're not going to do that. We might pray about the situation and ask for some relief or whatever, but by and large, we just want to do what He wants us to be doing. So we want to make that choice. So that's what I cannot for the life of me imagine why anybody would not want the Lord handpicking and choosing each individual member for His body. When I start thinking about my choices and I compare His choices, He wins every time. There's no argument. I know He knows the future, which I don't know. And so hopefully that will stick in your mind that choice is the right choice whenever we choose Him. Okay, I used this computer when I was at Pete's place, and the one criticism I asked him what he thought about when I got done, because I really want to use this. I don't know the Greek very well, and this gives me the Greek words, and it gives me the Greek number, and it actually gives me the Greek pronunciation. The only thing I don't know that it does, I don't know if it gives me the Koine Greek, because sometimes when you were given this, it may have given me a little different word here. But it's whatever they've programmed into this screen, and I've given this out to a few people, to Ronnie and I do have a copy that I can, if you got your laptop with you, I can let you have the same copy that I'm using. But anyway, his biggest complaint was, and he sits in the front row, was he couldn't always see my face, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that may or may not be such a bad thing, but I decided here I'll just kind of stand aside. I'll kind of read it from here. And then stand in front of the mic, and you can see me. Maybe, only one can't see me, maybe Val. Yeah, I think she's the only one, but I know she remembers what I look like, so I think that'll be okay. That's the intro. Let's go to Ephesians 1:4. And I can't just read the verse. I have to look at the context. So I'm going to start with verse 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, and those are, it's hagios is the Greek word, and it means holy ones. And that's the way the Lord sees us, is being holy ones. I think sometimes we don't always act that way. But as he views us, and these people he's addressing, and by the way, this says this is addressed to the people at Ephesus, and that point's debatable. The point is this book was probably more circular, and it probably went to more than just the city of Ephesus. But it says it that way, and we'll read it that way in the English, which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. And we can qualify there as the faithful, even if we can't qualify as being residents of Ephesus, or even residents of the place where this was written to at the time it was written. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. And peace from God our Father. And that's sort of the way Paul always kind of greets us. He greeted them. And I think it's just because he knew and understood grace far greater than we do. And that peace. You really don't miss the peace till you don't have it. And then you really want it back again. It's something that God gives us freely. I mean, it cost him a great deal, but he gives it to us freely. And yet when we don't have it, we want it. So he says, a grace and peace from God our Father. And it's the Greek word chi, and it says and in the King James, but I think even is a better word. Because there is but one God. So he says, from God our Father, even from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And it says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. And the word places is in italics, but I find this word heavenly to be a noun. And in Rotherham, Marie uses Rotherham Bible, and it's translated heavenlies there as a place rather than heavenly places. It's just the heavenlies. So if you say it like that, it is a noun. And so you don't need this little word that they've supplied, this word places. If you just think of that word heavenly as being, because that's the question that you get from time to time is heaven a place? You know, does it say that? Well, in the Greek, the word places isn't there. They've just supplied it in the English. But if we change that from heavenly to heavenlies, then we have that particular problem solved. And it's mentioned two or three or four times in Ephesians, this word places is supplied in the English to kind of help us. The heavenly places in Christ, or the heavenlies in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him, and that's our word, it's a Greek word, eklegomi, oahi, and it's number 1586. And again, this is God doing the choosing. It says, according as He has chosen us in Him, this particular choosing took place before the foundation, or before the cattle below, of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, or in agape love. Something that artists always seems to do an excellent job of bringing forth. That love that God has for us. And by the way, Paul never went around and bragged about how much he loved the Lord. It was always how much the Lord loved him. And I think we would do well to do that. Not go around and think. It's not that it's wrong for us to think that we love God, but it's nothing that we need to be bragging about. Because when you compare how much He loved us in relationship to how much we loved Him, it's way, way beyond any measure that we can come up with, how much more that He loved us than that we do toward Him. So that's perhaps the reason Paul never said that. I'm not sure how to go about this. I can go and start looking at all the different references for this choosing, and I probably ought to do some maybe. So let me go back. I'm going to start. Obviously, this is going to start in should start in Matthew. I can get it to go there. It's Matthew 13:20. Matthew 13:20. Or is it Mark? Maybe it's Mark. I thought I had a reference in. This may be Mark 13:20. It's talking about, and it says, except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom He has chosen, He has shortened the days. So what I'm trying to establish here, and I think we can establish beyond question, is that the Lord was in the business of choosing. He told Israel that He chose her not because she was an attractive people or a huge number of people, but He chose her because He wanted to. I think that was the best reason that could come up. Why did God choose Israel? Because He wanted to. I think he wanted to use the weak things, the things that didn't have much reason to brag about. And so, if you think about that in relationship to the body, aren't we like that? We're not the most. We're not in the hundreds of thousands. We're the few. And there's no reason that any of us can come up with why He would choose us. Any good reason. Even as we look at one another and we think about one another, we can't really see those qualities like He can, why He chose us as opposed to choosing someone else. So I see this as something that God does a lot. He does a lot of choosing. Luke 6:13. And by the way, He does it out of foreknowledge. I know I said that, but I want to say it again. He chooses us out of His foreknowledge. We know that God knows everything. And I can't for the life of me figure out if he knew ahead of time who to choose, how or why he would ever choose somebody that wasn't going to believe this or wasn't going to fall in to it, you know. I heard this lady here, this Jennifer, say, I heard this truth and then I just knew it was it. First time I heard it, I knew it. Well, that's the way it was for me, and that's the way it was for Val. And so it wasn't like something that we had kind of come up with, or we'd been hearing it, or like Barney says, he was, you know, he's been hearing this for years and years. He was born in a Christian home. But when we heard the truth, we accepted it, we believed it. So when I look at this and see when God chose me, which was way beyond before I was ever existed, then in my mind I can say, yeah, he chose me. And I don't understand other than that than he did it. You know, it's his prerogative. I know he didn't make any mistakes as far as me believing it and accepting it. I don't have any problem with it. It answers a lot of questions for me. I was in Acts 13 and I had a lot of questions before I came to Acts 28, post Acts. And this answers a lot more questions for me, and I've never, you know, chosen to go back. So in Luke 6:13, he says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And by the way, there is a difference in between a disciple and an apostle. I know in the King James they kind of use these words like they're both of the same value. They mean the same thing. In fact, there was a lot more disciples than there were apostles. And the apostle was someone who had a commission. So these disciples he's referring to here were also apostles. And he chose them, and that's another interesting study to look into, is why he chose those 12 guys as opposed to some others. And the one guy, you know, Judas, he chose him. We're not even sure he was a believer. And yet he did a job, had a responsibility to do, and he lost his bishopric. And so as we go on and read this, he says, unto him his disciples, and of them he chose, that's our word again, he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, which is repeating just what I just said. So these, out of all the disciples that he had, this is what we believe about body members. He chooses out of believers, body members to go into his body. That's sort of how we understand that. So he didn't just choose out, I'll just go out in the whole world and just look for some. But he looked out in his foreknowledge and looked at believers and then chose out of believers those that he wanted to choose. And all I can think of is somehow or another, we are his workmanship. The testing and the trials and the things that we go through now are going to prepare us. I think they're preparing us even now. A lot of things, Val and I have a saying, we had to go through what we went through in the past to be able to get to where we are today in our relationship with each other. And it makes us a lot more appreciative of each other because of what we've been through and what we've had in the past. And so when we think about that and we think about the Lord's choosing, he knows what he's doing. Luke 10:42. And I guess the main thing I'm seeing in this is a pattern. We're seeing the Lord how he does this thing of choosing consistently. It's like he came up with a plan and then he's hand-picking whoever he wants to fulfill his plan. And these people are not going to fail. Like I said, they may stumble. You know, Peter stumbled. But in the end, he was just what the Lord wanted. I think after he stumbled, you know, he said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. And the Lord said, you'll do it three times before the cock crows. But once that happened, I don't think you ever read again that Peter ever did that again. I think the shame that he felt, he never wanted to ever do that. He would never do that again. He would never deny the Lord again. He did. So that was the thing. I guess that's what I'm getting at when I'm thinking about us making these choices. If we make the wrong choice, we may bring on some shame. I feel like that what we ought to be always wanting to do is make the right choice. But sometimes we don't have all the information we need when we make our choices. So when it comes to the Lord, though, and putting his choices first, his plan first, You know what? That's the way I like to think about this. We are members of His body. We fill Him up. We complete Him. That's a lot to think about. It says, but one thing is needful in Luke 10:42, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Remember, this is the situation where there was jobs that needed to be done, but Mary was more interested in what the Lord had to say, and the other Martha, I think it was more interested in doing whatever task was necessary. She was task-oriented, I like to think. And so one of them, as far as the Lord was concerned, He commended her choice. I don't read anything where He degraded the other woman or said, you know, she made a bad choice, but this woman here, the beauty of it is her choice wasn't going to be taken away. The thing that she learned, she was going to gain from that. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 70. It says, and Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? There's no question about who that one was. It's Judas Iscariot. He's one of those guys where he's got the identification on him like a first name and a last name. So you know, because there was other men by the name of Judas, this guy here, there's enough said about him that we know what type of character he was. We also know, and this is an interesting thing to do on your own, is just, did God ever say anything really good about Judas? You know, he's calling him one of his 12, which is kind of a good thing, but then he qualifies it by saying, and one of you is a devil. I'm not sure Judas knew he was that one, but he did find out at the end that he was the one that betrayed the Lord. He was the one that gave him that kiss of death. Our next one is in John 15, verse 18. Again, just going with the theme about the Lord making these choices. I found it interesting when I started this study that there just wasn't more references to this choosing, when I think it's what we're doing every day. We're making choices every day. Sometimes moment by moment we're making choices and decisions. And sometimes they're not, you know, sometimes they're not life-threatening. Sometimes you don't have to lose any sleep over it or give it much thought in your choice. Sometimes it gets to be pretty easy. My contention is, if you keep making the right choices, it gets easier and easier. Somebody said that, I don't know whether it was Ronnie or one of the other speakers, that God just wants us to do a job, and if we keep doing the job over and over, we get better at it. It becomes easier for us. John 13:18. I probably said it wrong. It's not uncommon for me to give the wrong reference. I don't like to do that. John 13:18. John chapter 13. And if you were over in 18, your verses won't match up with what I'm reading. Which that has happened too in our group. I speak not of you, all I know, whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. So he's doing that. He's making that choice. It says here that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And I'm thinking that's true in a lot of cases. A lot of times when the Lord's doing choosing, and it had to do with Israel, it was because of some scripture written about that in the past. And he had to do that in order to fulfill scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:27. I'm trying to go there, and the computer is saying, no, you're not going there. That's probably the only thing I find frustrating about this, is it doesn't always let me do what I want to do. think I can get there this way. Well, let me go to Acts 15:25. That's where the computer says I'm going to read, so that's where I'm going to read. Acts 15:25. I made the choice, and the computer made a choice, and it wins. He says, it seemeth good unto me and to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men. And then I can't read the rest of it there. That's probably as far as I'm going to go in this particular study. I've got some more. Ephesians 1:4 is the only reference I've got in the prison epistles. I want to go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22. Is it getting warm in here, or is that just me? I know I get up here and I'm warm. But I'm thinking of everybody else. I don't want anybody going to sleep on me, and it's when it gets warmer, I find it's a lot easier for me to go to sleep when I'm warm. I'm scrolling down. I'm getting closer. I'm going to probably start reading in verse 20. I'll read in verse 19. Philippians 1:19. And we're looking at the word choose here. And it's the Greek numbers 1-8. Verse 19, it says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Verse 22, "That if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I wot not." Paul's having a struggle with the flesh. I'm thinking, if Paul could have a struggle with the flesh, so can we. He has to make a deliberate choice whether to do what his feelings are telling him to do, or what the Spirit, what his new man, is telling him to do. So sometimes the feelings that we have, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So sometimes what we feel is right, what we think is right, it's the flesh. It's the flesh working. So what I would recommend is, if you're going to make a choice, go to the Lord in prayer and then have him instruct you in what he would have you to do. And I know sometimes when we're trying to do something and we're doing it in the flesh, we're doing it for him, but we're doing it in the flesh, it doesn't work out. We struggle with that. We can't understand it. And it turns out that was another comment I wanted to make about Valerie and I and our marriage. The timing of this thing. Whenever we were engaged, Valerie said, for a long, long time. 7 months total. And so she kept thinking that we could set a date earlier. And I kept saying, we'll choose the date, we'll pick the time. One of the reasons I was delaying asking her is because I didn't know the date. And she said, well, I'll help you with the date. So, so she did. But it only took her 10 minutes, but it took me a lot longer than that to get to that point to ask her that. But the whole time I was thinking, I want this to be right for the Lord, pleasing to the Lord, this choice, this decision. So we come up with a date of March 31st. And March 24th. March 24th. Women are good about remembering that, aren't they, artists? My retirement, which happened just a short time later. My retirement came up, and it was March 31st. So that's where that date comes in. Well, it turns out, (laughs) I was looking forward to both. The timing of that thing, though, was that this announcement was made in January that we were going to get an early retirement package. And I was going to retire at the end of this year, in December of this year. And the Lord had another plan for me and for Val. And so I got offered that package, and I thought, I'm going to have to rearrange or reset our date that we had, you know, prayed about and thought about. Because I thought it was going to be the end of January, I was going to have to make the decision and I was going to have to leave. Well, it turns out I didn't have to make the decision for another month or two, although it didn't take me that long to make this choice. This was actually a fairly easy choice to make. I think within a half hour to an hour, I was up front signing the papers. I'd been there 34 and a half years, and that was long enough. And for somebody to say, I'm going to pay you not to come to work, I said, okay, I'll do it. It's like the coach, you know, they'd say, we're not going to pay you to coach, just stay home. I can do that. For that kind of money that they're giving them, I could do that job. And so that the timing of that thing was, no, it's the end of March. So I didn't have to change anything. And matter of fact, the last week that I was with the company, I got paid marriage leave. So I got paid just like I was working, but I was on my honeymoon with Val. We actually came down through here on our honeymoon. And it all worked out. You know, the timing of the thing worked out. And I told her I couldn't have done that any better had I known, you know, ahead of time what was going on. But the Lord worked that out and just confirmed to me that that's the way He wanted it. You know, that was a choice that we made. He confirmed that it was the right one by me waiting and not getting ahead of myself. So. Okay. Ephesians 4:31. Probably what I'm going to do, I'm not going to have time to get these other verses. I might just give them to you, or I'll get them. I'll put them out on the tape, and if you get them on the tape, you can get. But the other verses that I have down here that I probably won't have time for are just about attitude. And that's what I'm thinking. The Lord may not be using the word choose and choice and making decisions like that all the time, but it's all about attitude. Just having the Lord's mind in these things, and having what Paul called making the right choices, and having being like-minded is the way he put it. Ephesians 4:31. I have to get there. This is the only disadvantage of this tool, is trying to get there. If you know your Bible at all, you can get there quicker than this tool gets me there. There may be a shortcut to this. I haven't figured out what it is yet. But and when I try to go too fast, it locks up, and then I don't get anywhere. So just looking at this word, it's a little different word. It's number 142, and it's just translated here, let. It's a Greek word, A-I-R-O, and I don't know if I can, it's to lift up, it says, or to take up or away, figuratively to raise, to keep in suspense. But what it really amounts to is this idea. He says, let all bitterness, and, you know, I think this is negative. There's a positive thing to these choices, and there's also a negative. And when you're choosing the positive, obviously you're not going to be doing these negative things. So it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. And by the way, when you get these kinds of thoughts in your mind, you don't have that peace. That's not there. That kind of escapes. So if you make these choices, if you choose to have bitterness, if you choose to have wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, if you don't choose to put these away, you lose that peace. So it, to me, even though it doesn't say this is a choice, this is an absolute choice that you can make. You don't have to be mad. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to allow that emotion to overtake you. Go to Colossians 2:14. And just for context sake, I'll probably start. I'll start in 10. Somebody else already spoke on this, and I think it is kind of amazing how. By the way, somebody asked me this question: why do you have a theme at your conference? Wouldn't it be better not to have a theme? Because it seems like Ronnie does it okay here. And I said, the only thing I can tell you about that is that we have a theme, but I've never told the speakers you have to speak on the theme. If you've got something else the Lord has laid on your heart. But I said, really, it's easier for the speakers if they at least got a subject. Sometimes when we've gone to mics, he's given us a whole chapter. There's no way we're going to get through a chapter in 45 minutes. And he's given us a whole chapter to go over. And so that makes it easy for the speakers to know at least what their subject matter is going to be. Colossians 2:14. I'm starting with 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. By the way, there's no water here. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took, that's our word, took. It was not really choice. It was definitely a choice made on God's hand to take these things off of us. But the Greek word again is that A-R-R-O. Aero. So he says he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And, you know, this goes on to say, don't let anybody judge you in respect of meat and drink and holy day and all those things. So it's all the religion. Because it's all been taken care of. Just for the sake of you guys who are taking notes, we're not going to have time to do them, but Philippians 2, 1 to 5. That's just talking about the Lord's, Paul's attitude, and about the Lord, the attitude that he had while he was here, and how we're to imitate that. Philippians 3, 10 to 19. And then lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And I'm just calling all those verses, lumping all that in as attitude. So when we're thinking about our choices, think about your attitude. Think about your mindset. Think about, you know, I feel very confident when an artist gets done talking about love and how the Lord loves us, that our attitude is going to be, yeah, there's really a good reason for us to have the right attitude and to be thankful and not be murmuring and complaining and doing like the world does, you know, counting what they don't have, rather than counting what we do have. So hopefully that'll help you. Hopefully you'll remember the word choice, that's what I was trying to talk about. Ronnie?